The Canucks celebrate a victory that came 6 days too late. The Bulls celebrate a victory that came with a hobbled MVP. And we celebrate an anniversary that probably shouldn't have come at all. This is the Sports Radio Jax. Welcome to the Jacks 10th episode extravaganza. Coming up over the next 60 minutes of unnecessary words like extravaganza, we'll discuss bad ankles, weddings, Brandon Marshall, UFC 129, Ryan Braun, Jose Bautista, and Rob Pizzo. As always, you can listen to us live at centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio. Or you can download the podcast by clicking on Centennial Internet Radio. You can also hit us up on Twitter at SportsJax. Even after 10 episodes, I'm still Josh Lewinberg. He's still Aaron Karolnik. And file your restraining orders accordingly. He's still Jimmy Mangos.
That's right. I'm still here, baby.
Gentlemen?
How many restraining orders do you have against you, Jimmy?
I lost count. I don't know.
The courts don't even bother.
That's okay. They know me by now.
They round off now to the nearest decimal. What's going on, guys? Congratulations on our 10th anniversary episode.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was hoping maybe you...
Happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it. Happy anniversary.
Do you know where that's from?
No, where is that from?
The Flintstones.
Oh, Flintstones. Quality.
I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was hoping maybe Jimmy was going to get us a gift or something for our anniversary to commemorate this momentous occasion.
He didn't get you anything?
No.
Oh, I got flowers and some chocolates.
Jimmy.
Yep.
All that's missing is the romantic evening, but the show's still young, so you never know.
So you found out who your secret admirer was, huh?
It's you?
I sent him to his house the other day. Chocolates and flowers and candy.
You're a doll, Jimmy. You're a doll.
Well, not you, Aaron.
Those were addressed to my sister.
Really?
Yeah.
Lewinberg's daughter.
Wow.
We were going to talk about highlights of the first 9 episodes in a bit, but that actually might be one of them. Lewinberg's daughter.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
Jimmy, you're a pervert.
I forgot that you had a sister.
I can't believe you forgot.
How is she, by the way?
She's doing wonderful.
I've shown you some Facebook pictures. You know,
yeah, that was like 2 months ago, so I have a short-term memory, okay?
Yeah, but it's a very one-track memory. That's what concerns me.
Hmm.
Anyways, I'm very excited about today's episode. I'm always excited. I don't want to downplay the excitement here. Last week we talked about circumcisions and leg hair, and that was exciting. I was excited about that. But this week we are joined on the line later in the show by Rob Pizzo of The Score on Sirius 98, co-host of Puck Daddy Radio. That's exciting. Pizzo is a boss.
Oh yeah, he's one of my heroes. And no sarcasm there. I listen to the Puck Daddy
Radio. It sounds
like
you're sarcastic.
There's no sarcasm. I've been watching and reading and doing a lot of stuff with regards to Rob Pizzo for a long time, so it's going to be a great honor to finally speak with him on the line. Something I've been really looking forward to for quite a while.
It's going to be fun. We also are going to talk some UFC coming up, so although I don't care for the sport myself.
You know, like the bloodlust? You're not into bloodlust?
No, too violent. Too violent. I feel like we talk every week about headshots and concussions and all that garbage when it comes to the NHL, so at this point, all the UFC, it's just too much. It's an overload of...
Well, it's in Ontario, so that means something. Rogers Centre, the first MMA event in Ontario, so that's
pretty
exciting. How
many fans are going to be there on Saturday night? About
I think 55,000.
Oh, that's it? Oh,
55,000 losers. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Freudian slip.
Adam's going to be there. And I think George, too.
George is going as
so
well.
So I guess he's a loser, right?
I didn't say that.
Maybe George will pick up some moves that he can use for the big race that's coming up in a couple weeks' time.
Maybe. He'll learn a new workout
from
regimen.
UFC? What does he need to learn to run? We're not fighting the octagon here.
No, that's the week after.
But if he wants to fight the octagon, you know what, George? I'll take your offer.
You're probably in some big trouble then.
You should probably retract that.
10 episodes. Should we not be celebrating 10 episodes? Is that, in the words of the Tim and Sid Uncut Nation with Rob Pizzo on today, we might as well throw this in here. Is that cut or uncut celebrating 10-episode anniversary.
Oh, it's uncut. I actually have 3 bottles of champagne in my bag over there, which we'll be cracking out after the episode's over. But, you know, it's been a great ride so far, and I'm looking forward to many more episodes in the future.
To be truthful, I thought we'd be thrown off after the second episode in which our boy Mangos over here dropped, like, 8 F-bombs in the matter of 60 seconds.
Did I say that? Was that me?
It might have been.
Really?
For our 20th show, maybe we'll dip into the archives. And I don't have any clips today, unfortunately.
It's too bad the fine ladies of What She Said are no longer around here at Centennial.
Oh,
because
they're long gone.
Yeah, Jimmy was developing a nice rivalry with them, and it's too bad that's over.
They couldn't handle that, though, you know?
No, they just had to drop out.
Yeah, they got canceled. They got canceled after like 4 weeks.
Whereas, for whatever reason, we're still here.
We got a lot of viewers, that's why.
Our viewership is increasing by the day, and I'm sure with the news pimp, Rob Pizzo, on this week.
Pimp.
And Adam Martin joining us as well. Things are only looking up for the Sports Radio Jacks.
Well, things are looking up for the Sports Radio Jacks. Things are looking up for the fans of the Royal Wedding. I can't even segue. It's terrible.
God, no.
It's terrible. Royal wedding. What is this garbage? On Friday, I guess it is.
Exactly what you said. It's garbage.
Prince William, Catherine Middleton, and for whatever reason, people will be watching and people will be showing more interest in this garbage than they did in their own damn weddings. So why is all I have to say to this?
You guys aren't excited about the royal wedding?
I can't even describe how little I care about this royal wedding. I would rather watch the entire Pittsburgh Giants series over the next few days.
Oh, Pittsburgh Giants. Wow.
Sorry. Pirates, Giants. I got you. I don't like when people do that.
You're not at the James McDonald starts,
no.
Eh?
I would rather watch the entire Pirates, Giants series than 2 minutes of this wedding.
But you know, like, Elton John's going to be there. You know you can bet on if Elton John is going to cry or not during the royal wedding?
Really?
He's probably going to cry.
They got props on that, too?
It's crazy. Like, it's crazy.
Did you hear that Bob Barker's going to be there, too?
Bob Barker has got an invite? I don't think so.
He's a legend. Like, come on.
But I think Jay-Z is going to perform alongside Beyonce,
really?
Supposedly Kanye West. So it's pretty much like a concert alongside a wedding.
I would have had them pegged for more of the Feist or Bjork type of people.
Yeah. Those are secondary choices. But, you know, these people are Kate and Prince William?
Willis? What's his name?
What you talking about, Prince?
Wills. What kind of a name is Wills?
It's William.
Yeah, William. But it says Wills and Kate.
I don't think it does, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you're looking at.
I don't know.
Did you get an invitation to this wedding?
No, I did not, shockingly.
Attending the wedding will be Elton John and Jimmy Mangos.
Jimmy Mangos, keynote speaker at the wedding.
That was my accent. Was it
Kate and...
They got 2,000 people in that church. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's a lot of people.
That's a big church.
That's a big church.
Well, one marriage will begin. Another marriage is coming to a rocky end, per se. I don't know if it's coming to an end, but it probably should after there's a stabbing. Brandon Marshall was released from hospital on the weekend after being stabbed in the abdomen by his wife. How do you pronounce this? Mishi?
Mishi? Yeah,
Mishi Nagomi? Nagami?
Mishi.
Mrs. Brandon Marshall stabbed Mr. Brandon Marshall. Who's crazier, Marshall or the Mrs.?
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that Mishi Nogami, Brandon Marshall's wife, had Brandon Marshall on her fantasy team this year, which would really explain why he was stabbed, because he was a huge bust for all his fantasy owners. But, you know, you look at Brandon Marshall's previous felonies or police-related incidents in the past few years, and I think I was reading an article that he said he had 12 or 13 police-related incidents prior to 2009, and that's not even including the past few years. So Brandon Marshall's pretty crazy. Mishi Nogami's, whatever her name is, pretty crazy. So I'd say they're a match made in heaven.
So is this girl Asian? She has an Asian name.
I don't think so, though.
No, I've seen a picture.
She's a nose like KRS-One.
Yeah, she's not a looker.
No. Really?
Worse than Rihanna, in my opinion.
So does that wreck his hand? Did she cut his hands, too? Like, is his hands the...
Do you know what the weapon was that she used?
What?
Jimmy? No, I'm asking, do you know?
Well, we should
guess, then. You want to play Clue?
Sure. Was it a machete?
And where did this take place? In the library?
Brandon Marshall does not have a library in his house. In realistic here.
Colonel Mustard?
In his backyard, maybe.
It was a kitchen knife.
He was having a barbecue, and she came stabbing him.
Why do you drop so many balls, Brandon?
She says it was self-defense, and he's not the cleanest individual when it comes to his prior record. In fact, I heard there was some history of some
domestic abuse.
Yeah, in the relationship.
I believe that.
What a nice guy. Very nice.
Brandon Marshall. He's a charming guy. A true bench.
We have a marriage theme, as you can tell today, with our anniversary and the royal wedding and now this. So everything's tying in perfectly, wouldn't you say? Got marriages ending, marriages beginning. Ours is 10 weeks strong.
Very strong. This has the makings of an epic episode, let me tell you.
Well, while we're talking epic episode, why don't we just dive right in to the NBA playoffs? Does that sound like fun?
Yeah, yes. I don't know how epic the NBA playoffs have been so far, but it's looking like it might be a lot more epic after the round one is concluded.
They're just getting their feet wet so far.
I was mainly directing that comment to Jimmy Mangos, whose Chicago Bulls have advanced to the finally. It's been 5 games.
Yeah, but the series seems like it's been forever.
You're upset that it wasn't a sweep?
Yeah, I'm very upset.
I should have taken your bet, Jimmy.
You should have. You could have won $100. But.
Jimmy wanted to bet me whether or not the Bulls were going to sweep or not. He thought they would sweep.
I thought they would sweep.
I regrettably said they. I actually just didn't take the bet, but I did believe the Bulls.
But you didn't have the kahunas to make that bet with me.
Kahunas? Cajones?
Or, well, you want me to say balls? Can I say balls?
Why not?
I think okay.
Okay, there, balls.
We've done a lot worse on this show than balls, so. From balls to ankles.
To bulls.
To ankles.
Okay.
Balls to bulls to ankles?
To ankles. Bulls move on, but Derrick Rose's ankle.
It's an issue.
Not the best. It's an issue. Kobe Bryant was
back in game four, though.
Well, it still hurts, I'm sure. He was in a walking boot like 2 days ago, wasn't he? Kobe Bryant has a similar issue with his left ankle, is it?
Yeah. I think Kobe's is worse, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Whose ankle is going to be a bigger obstacle to overcome going forward?
Probably Kobe's, because now Rose has a week off, right?
That's true.
Game one of the next year doesn't start till Monday, so he's got a week to rest that injured ankle. Kobe looks like he's more serious. Wasn't he supposed to be benched or something like that?
Yeah, there were rumors that he was going to sit out in game five.
You know he's not sitting
out. I saw him in the second quarter. He looked like he was gassed out.
Yeah, but Derrick Rose's ankle injury is a lot more problematic, I would say, because even to say Kobe sat out a game for the Lakers, they still have the talent to support. Maybe not a series win, but they could certainly compete in a series.
Rose looked fine yesterday, though. He had 25 points.
Yeah, yeah. But
Kobe looked fine yesterday, too.
If Rose sits out, and especially with the news breaking today that Carlos Boozer was diagnosed with turf toe, and that's a serious injury for all those fantasy footballers out there. I know that turf toe can plague a runner, and Carlos Boozer doesn't do that much running, but still, that's an injury, especially with a guy who's as notably fragile as Carlos Boozer has been in the past. So if Derrick Rose is hobbled and Carlos Boozer's hobbled, maybe not in round two, whether it's the Hawks or the Magic facing off against the Bulls, but when Miami or Boston come to town in Chicago, those injuries may certainly hamper them come that time.
The Lakers have some problems in addition to the Kobe Bryant injury. They looked better in game five, winning yesterday on Tuesday night. But game four, the point guards for the New Orleans Hornets, Chris Paul and Jared Jack, combining for double the rebounds of the Lakers front court, Gasol and Bynum. They haven't looked good all series long. Even in Game 5, we're still not seeing the Pau Gasol that we're used to seeing. Does that speak to an injury that might be plaguing Pau as well?
Yeah, I don't know if it's age or injuries. Gasol has been reported to be being plagued by a little bit of a knee problem, ankle problem, something in his foot region too. But like, we just don't really know, but you know, Kobe seems to not be the Kobe of old, but you just never want to count out the Lakers. They have too much experience, too much star power just to put it together, and I still wouldn't want to bet against them in any capacity.
Star power has been the difference in the Thunder Nuggets series that most people thought would go the distance, but the bottom line is...
Still could.
But the bottom line is, as we've discussed time and time again, Denver just doesn't have the star power to be able to compete with a Russell Westbrook, with a Kevin Durant, and we're seeing that when it comes to the final 2 minutes of these games when the Nuggets just look lost. They don't know who they're going to, they don't know what they're doing, and the Thunder almost made another comeback in, what was it, Game 5?
Yeah. No, Game 4.
Game 4.
Yeah.
So, I guess the question that I have at this point with the Lakers having some trouble with New Orleans, Spurs and Memphis battling it out. Dallas and Portland has been close as well. Are the Thunder the favorite in the Western Conference?
I certainly think you can make that argument right now. They've looked really good, and it seems like they'll have a pretty solid second-round matchup.
If Memphis can win.
If Memphis can win.
Regardless, I think they have the easiest path.
Yeah.
The Spurs are not the Spurs of old. We'll talk about that later, absolutely. Believe me. But facing the Spurs or the Grizzlies rather than facing the Lakers.
Yeah, you're right. It's ever since Kendrick Perkins got to Oklahoma City, they brought a new defensive vigor. And that's played a large part in their better play of the second half. And also, you look at guys like Durant and Westbrook who are just able to take over games. And that's something that Denver just doesn't have. And even when after Carmelo got traded, they were talking about not having any players with sticky fingers. And that's what Carmelo had, because he loved to take tons of shots and wasn't a passer, didn't involve his teammates as much as others would like. But at the same time, when you look at down the stretch, as you mentioned, Denver just doesn't have that go-to player who can get them buckets when they need them. And that's certainly hampered them here. And again, it's just Oklahoma City. I think you can certainly say they might be the favorites.
They had, what's his name, Danny Gallinari win the game, the sharpshooter for game four. So maybe they could go to that guy, huh? Why not?
I don't think they have enough options. We saw them go to Kenyon Martin down the stretch earlier on in the series. OKC is too good. Westbrook is a ridiculous talent. Ridiculous. And I think a lot of what he does is so diluted by the fact that he's playing alongside one of the greatest players in the world in Kevin Durant. But you put Russell Westbrook on the Chicago Bulls, and is the outcome so different than an MVP caliber season that we've seen from Derrick Rose this year? Their games are so similar.
Oh, I completely agree. Actually, if you look at the player efficiency ratings between Rose and Westbrook, they're actually identical for the season. And that's saying something, considering Westbrook has to defer so much to Durant while Rose is the focal point of the Chicago offense. So the comparison is very valid between Rose and Westbrook. And I think you can even make the argument that Westbrook is the superior player.
I question, though, with Westbrook and Durant getting along. Apparently, I heard, because Westbrook took the last shot in game four.
Yep.
Which everybody's questioning, why isn't Durant taking the final shot? Now everybody's wondering, maybe Westbrook has a huge ego and they might not get along when the game situation comes to when it's a close game like that. What are they going to do?
They're winning players. They have, I believe from what I've seen anyways, that their attitude is in the right place. They'll get it done. Westbrook this, Durant that. Two names I want to shout out at you right now. Scott Brooks, because this team is so young, but they're so disciplined, especially defensively, and endless amounts of credit to Coach Scotty Brooks. And Serge Ibaka, who's looked like a completely different player all year, but especially in the first four games of this series, he's looked more impressive than Kendrick Perkins.
I think Perkins being there allows Ibaka to kind of move around on defense and just help side defense and just block shots. And that's what Ibaka's better at. If he's at the four, where he is not in the center of the offense, of the defense, Perkins can just stay and roam while Ibaka can go around and just try to swat shots, which is exactly what he's doing. He's altering a bunch of shots and blocking a lot of shots. And that's been exceptionally important for Oklahoma City.
The Thunder are a complete team at this point, and they're going to be tough to beat. Now, we mentioned this earlier when we talked about the Spurs, Is their dynasty coming to an end, if you can even call it a dynasty?
Dynasty? They haven't. Okay, go ahead.
Your opinion is very valid in this case, because there are various definitions of a dynasty. Some people think you need to win 2, 3, 4 years in a row. But the Spurs have completed their dynasty in a very different fashion, in that at one point they had a streak of every other year in which they were winning.
But every odd year.
They've been so dominant for so long that I think that qualifies as a dynasty. The bottom line is that coming to an end?
Well, they haven't won a championship since, 2007, so it's been 5 years. And they're a very old team. And the first championship came in 99, Tim Duncan, and they won three. I think every other year, 03, 05, 07, they won three in the next 6 years. But now you can just tell the age on the team. It has grown, and the time's changed now. I think they're finished now. This is the last hurrah for them. So.
Oh, I don't think so at all. It's not like Tim Duncan's going to retire after this season. This is a guy who's got a bunch of years left. Tony Parker is still not an old man by any means. Manu Ginobili's got a lot of years left. And they have a bunch of young guys who can certainly
contribute. Duncan can't play a full game anymore, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's not Tim Duncan circa 2000 anymore, but still a very, very solid power forward. And you have guys like DeJuan Blair and George Hill, Gary Neal, who can come off the bench and provide some scoring. And guys like Richard Jefferson really haven't been all that great in the playoffs, but then he's still a solid contributor. I'm not willing to write off the Spurs this year yet. Sure, they're down 3-1, but stranger things have happened than a team that won 61 games during the season.
Do you ever see them winning a championship again in the next few years?
No, I don't think anyone expected them to win a championship
this year.
So
the dynasty's over then.
we can sit here and we can say that they are too old and that they're done, or they will be done when they if they get eliminated this season. But the bottom line is, this wouldn't be the first time we've said that. The one interesting thing, the difference this year, in the years past, we've seen the Spurs go with the mentality, all right, it's not about the regular season, it's about the playoffs. So we've seen them almost punt the regular season at points where they're sitting guys, they're resting guys, they're not coming out strong early on. Whereas this year, I think they had something to prove. They wanted to prove to the NBA that they're not too old, that they still have what it takes. They wanted to prove stuff to themselves, I believe. And they came on strong this year, as you can see with what they've accomplished in the 2011 season. And now I'm wondering, is that coming back to bite them in the ass now that they're having problems with a much younger, more athletic team in Memphis?
Yeah, I think you're right on there, and it was kind of a reverse season for the Spurs, who always, like, you look at Manu Ginobili, he was coming to the playoffs injury with his elbow injury, missed game one, and I don't know if it's still plaguing him, but he has not been the same Ginobili we've been used to in the playoffs in the past. And you know what? It's just these guys, some of these guys are getting older. Duncan and McDyess are older, but then again, I just don't see the Spurs going down in five.
In the beginning of the season, they were chosen for many people that you weren't supposed to make the playoffs. A lot of people had them 7th, 8th, but
it's a testament to Coach Greg Popovich as well. He's done an incredible job piecing together this
coach.
Team.
He's like the Bobby Cox of the NBA.
Yeah, he's Greg Popovich. Well, a lot of teams, if they had to choose their coach, I'm sure Greg Popovich would be the top of their list. So again,
Crater Face?
Yeah.
Old Crater Face.
Coffee Face.
It's not very nice.
I'm sorry.
Apologies to Mr. Popovich.
I'm sorry, Greg.
If he's listening.
If I can call you Greg. Can I call you Greg?
Probably not. Probably not.
Sorry, Pop.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. It's been a good series so far. Hopefully it'll continue to be a good series. Hopefully it goes to 7. One game that looking like it's going to go the distance, or one series that's looking like it's going to go the distance, is a series I identified very early on as one that I was excited for. I don't think it's getting a lot of love in the media, but Orlando-Atlanta has been very interesting for me because we've seen a very smart strategy employed by the Atlanta Hawks, letting Dwight Howard do his thing, stopping the rest of the team, stopping the three-point shooting on the part of the Magic. And Magic won, what was it, game 6? Game 5?
Game 5.
So yeah. It's 3-2 Atlanta at the moment. Most interesting part for me, and I'll throw to you in a second, Aaron, Dwight Howard, in the 3 losses, loss number 1, 46 points, 19 rebounds. Loss number 2, 21-15. Loss number 3, 29-17. Dwight Howard in Game 5's win last night, 8 points and 8 rebounds. What does this guy need to do? What should he be doing for this team to win games? Does he need to go off for those ridiculous stat lines? What's the key for Orlando right now?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. You need your contributing players to contribute. And prior to last night's game, the threesome of Turkoglu, Jameer Nelson, and who am I missing here?
J.J. Redick.
Not J.J. Redick.
Yeah, 14 points.
Turkoglu and Nelson were both shooting well below
Richardson.
Jason Richardson were shooting well below their season averages. Really, they're shooting below 25% from three-point range, and a solid three-point shooting effort is essential to beat the Hawks, especially with them collapsing so hard on Dwight Howard in the middle, which is pretty much essential. So Dwight's going to need to get his, but at the same time, the role players for Orlando, like Turkoglu, like Richardson, like Nelson, need to step up as well.
Magic shot 42% from the three-point line in Game 5, 22% from the three-point arc the rest of the series. So that's definitely a key for them. I've been on the Atlanta bandwagon for a while now because I think they're not getting enough respect. They're older than they were a year ago. They're more experienced. Those excuses that they're not experienced, that they're going to fold in the playoffs, are no longer valid. This is the time for them to win. And they've been strong defensively. Joe Johnson is such a key for them. Such a key. 22 points per game in their 3 wins. 9.5 points per game in their 2 losses. He needs to earn that money that they've given him. And I think he will. The question is, I'm going to throw this to our good pal Jimmy Mangos over here. Question is, as Chicago sits and waits for one of these two teams, who's going to put up the bigger fight in the second round for the Chicago Bulls? Is it Atlanta or is it Orlando?
I think it has to be Orlando because when I saw the two teams play, Magic and Bulls, Bulls kept on getting foul trouble. I mean, they just couldn't contain Howard. Noah and Boozer kept on getting fouled. They had, I think, Noah in those 2 games he played got fouled out against the Magic. So I think against the Hawks, Bulls, I think, blew them up like three times or something. So I definitely would love to see the Bulls play the Hawks right now.
I would like that as well, but for a different reason. I think the Hawks are the more are the toughest team when it comes to the two of them.
They're kind of soft, though.
They're kind of soft?
They're pretty soft. I mean, they don't have that one guy that just takes hard fouls, gives the hard fouls, you know what I mean? Like a Dwight Howard or like a Kevin Garnett.
No, I agree. I agree
with that.
Who's
that guy that can, you know?
I think they have more depth than the Magic. I think that...
Well, yeah.
I think that guys like Crawford, Joe Johnson when he's right, I think they'll give... You okay there, Jimmy?
Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
You want
coming down with something?
No. It's my throat. It's okay. Go on. I'm good.
Let me know if you need anything.
No, I'm good.
Can I get you some water?
Just here to help.
No, it's okay. I'll manage.
Yes, you will. And while you manage, let's play a little game that we played last week. I think you guys enjoyed it. You didn't do well.
No,
I definitely didn't do well.
I studied up all night last night researching who she's sleeping with.
Oh, my God.
So,
to recap, we modeled this game after the TNT Charles Barkley game, Who He Play For. But it's called Who She's Sleeping With. So last week I played some clips of various singers, and you had to name who they are dating and or married to. I guess it can't be and or. They're either married or dating.
Marriage. The marriage theme comes up once again.
Once again. This week I have some different celebrities, maybe not musicians. I think it might be easier. But then again, you guys can't possibly do worse than you did last week.
It's true.
So without further ado, here is Who She's Sleeping With, number one.
The reason why he's not here today is because he's filming a Power Bar commercial right now. So right now he's eating Power Bars, but normally it's only candy.
Like what kind of candy?
I mean, everything.
But like Skittles and
Skittles,
Hershey.
Chocolate. He loves Hershey Oreo bars, Twizzlers. I mean, I literally, he eats in his... He sleeps later. He falls asleep later than I do, so he eats while he's sleeping too. And I wake up with candy on my body.
First off, identify said woman. Who's that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Is it
Aaron? Any guesses? I have a clue, but I want you to get this without a clue.
I think we might need to utilize the clue.
We had her sister on last week as part of this game.
Oh, that's Kardashian?
Correct.
Kim.
Yes. All right. We had Kim on last week. This is Khloe Kardashian, and she was actually speaking about her husband in that clip. Who is that husband?
He would be Los Angeles Lakers forward Lamar Odom.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
All right. Jimmy, we're on the board, buddy.
On the board. Number two.
Well, I think, too, like, you know, there are many people, Christians, who believe that there is some sort of designer behind something. Like, for me, for instance, I'm a Christian. I try to read the Bible. I'm kind of a bad Christian sometimes, I guess, because I don't do it enough. But
bad Christian.
You know, I'm a bad Christian. But the idea, you know, I always think of it like this. When someone says, do you believe in a designer? Do you believe in God created the world? Or is it evolution? I always think, you look at a great bag, right? And you say,
a bag.
That's right. She just compared evolution to purses. Who's she?
That's an apt comparison, would you not say?
Is that Paris Hilton?
No.
Okay.
Nicole Richie?
No, you're not on the right track here. Former Survivor contestant. Anything? Jimmy, you watched Survivor.
Oh, was she on a year ago, was it? Maybe?
No, no. Okay. Long time ago. Okay. She is on The View. That's where the clip was from.
Oh, that really helps us out. Me and Jimmy, we both watch The View religiously, right? Oh,
I know, yeah. Jimmy does. You PVR that stuff every day, don't you?
Who's Star Jones still on that show?
Star Jones, yeah.
She's on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, okay.
Why do I watch so much
Is
reality
that Heather,
TV?
Heather Locklear?
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh, really?
Wife of?
Tim?
Tim Hasselbeck. Oh, quarterback and brother of?
Oh, I thought it was Matt Hasselbeck. I was kind of guessing with Tim.
No, it's Tim.
Well,
oh, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's who she's sleeping with. Maybe. They've been married for a while. I don't know how much sleeping they're doing at this point.
That does wind down after a while from what I've heard.
And last but not least.
Have you ever shoplifted anything?
I don't know if I palmed something once. Does that count?
It depends on what you palmed.
It was a Jolly Rancher apple
candy.
That's stealing. Yeah, you'll go to hell for that.
How old were you? It was my girlfriend.
Oh, it was your girlfriend.
It was out of her room.
I assume you'll need a clue for that.
Absolutely.
We know that one of her hobbies, one of her favorite pastimes, is feeding her loved one her food of choice, popcorn.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, that was Cameron Diaz.
The lovely Cameron Diaz.
She was talking about her and A-Rod?
That? No, she was just talking about... It was Jimmy Kimmel. She was talking about her history of theft, stealing.
She must have broached the subject of A-Rod, though.
Wait a minute.
I don't know how long that was.
She's dating A-Rod now?
She's dating A-Rod.
Oh, yeah. That's fully attributed to his...
What happened to Kate Hudson?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the last biddy? That would be Kate Hudson.
Yeah. She was hotter.
Kate Hudson. Yeah. A-Rod's last biddy?
Yeah.
Oh, A-Rod gets around.
She was much hotter. Madonna, dude.
Yeah,
I've never been a Cameron Diaz fan. Yeah.
But The Mask.
That's it.
Cameron Diaz,
oh,
The
yeah.
Mask.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was at her prime.
It's like 1994, man.
Damn. 94? The Mask was 94?
Yeah, around there.
Wow. I'm getting old. Well, you're older than me, Jimmy.
1 year.
Yeah, that's true.
Coming up, we'll talk a little bit MMA action coming up this weekend. We'll talk Blue Jays baseball, and we'll be joined on the line by Rob Pizzo of The Score and Sirius 98. But first, I give you the Mangos Minute. Mango, there we are. Mango, 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 mango. While we're reminiscing of our first 9 weeks, do you remember when I first pulled that up?
Week 3.
I think it was week 2.
Week 4. Wild guess.
The best.
Week two?
No, it was week 2, I think.
That was your best pull.
But that's the best moment. That's the best theme song, I think, of life, of anything. The Mangos Minute.
It defines a generation.
Oh, really?
But one of my favorite moments in our 10-year history, or 10-week storied history, is the Mangos Minute, where we give our boy Jimmy Mangos, who looks like he's having some problems here containing himself.
Yeah, Jimmy looks ill.
I'll be all right.
Well, after 10 weeks, this show has finally finished off Jimmy Mangos. Took long enough. Jimmy has a minute to go off on a subject in which we give him, and normally it is just that, going off. So today, we look at Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers, and one of his admirers in Milwaukee put a phone number on her Marry Me Ryan sign, and of course, those signs are... They're pretty prevalent at baseball games, I would say. You see a lot of them. But this one, of course, had the phone number on it. So this girl had a, what's the word here?
Bombardment?
Is that a word?
Bombardment. She was bombarded.
She was bombarded.
Is that the word of
calls.
The day?
Yeah, tremendous. That was last week's word. She was bombarded by text messages and voice messages to the extent in which she actually had to turn off her phone. The interesting part of this is after the game, this was brought to Ryan Braun's attention, and he actually gave the young lady a call, but she did not receive said message because her phone was off.
A dumb girl.
Indeed. When the time comes around, Jimmy, as the beautiful janitor walks by, when the time comes, and of course, you may also be going on a date with George's lovely sister, Graziella.
He will be going on a date.
Which I never met before in my life.
So when the time... When the time comes to name a Mrs. Mangos, how will you pop the question? How will you propose to the future Mrs. Mangos? Jimmy.
I can't say that. I mean, like, it's a surprise when I get older. I guess one way I could do it is drug her. Fool her into loving me, maybe. I could threaten her life. Tell her she doesn't marry me. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of your life. I'm going to kill you. No, okay. Cut that off. That's not true. But what will I do? That's a good question, Josh. Knowing that I am single right now, if I do go out with Graziella, how do you know she won't propose to me first, right?
Back, we are joined on the line by a man who wears many hats at The Score on Sirius 98. Among other things, he's the resident news jockey and co-host of Puck Daddy Radio. He is Robert Q. Pizzo.
You forgot news pimp Robert Q. Pizzo.
Aaron was going to jump in with news
pimp. Yeah, I was going to. I dropped the ball on that one.
I don't have the verbiage down. It's pimp, as in like
pimp.
P.
It's not even pimp. It's pimp.
E-E. How many E's are there in pimp?
I have no idea. Tim McAuliffe does it perfectly, and the first time he did it, I kind of laughed, and it just stuck. And he used to give me a different initial every single time. It used to be like Robert S. Pizzo, Robert N. Pizzo. Now he's just stuck with Q.
Well, Mr. Pizzo, that's actually my first question, if I can ask you. What is the real middle name?
It should be Robert P. Pizzo for Paul. So, and he's, I don't think he's ever actually done P, and I mentioned that to him, so maybe that's why he's decided never to go P again. But yeah, it's Paul. So just to solve all the questions out there, that it's not Quincy or, you know, something weird with a Q.
I was actually hoping you wouldn't tell us. I was hoping it would be like a mystery and we'd find out, like...
Oh,
the last possible, like, what's the guy's name on Home Improvement, where you don't see his face until the final episode?
Oh, yeah.
Wilson.
Wilson.
I normally don't whip out enough Home Improvement references.
Yeah, those aren't too frequent. Is this? Rob, I wanted to ask you, because Josh regales us of tales of the Scores time there, you know, hanging out with you and Tim and Sid and Hainzer. We just wanted
Not so much Hainzer. I don't brag about that.
Well, we just want to confirm whether or not this actually occurred, because I had my doubts that Josh actually ever even worked there.
No, he was around, believe it or not. He's not just telling tales. But, you know, when you get to work with Hainzer and the Tim and Sids of the world, you know, you just kind of stand in the back and let things happen in front of you. And it's kind of like a movie sometimes here at the Score. And if you try to get involved a little too much, you're putting yourself in the story and it just doesn't work. Like I said, when Hainzer is going off on one of his stories, or when Tim and Sid are talking about something that happened 5 years ago but is still funny now, you just stand back and allow it to happen. But yes, Josh did very good work here at the
Now, on that subject, having been there and seen what goes on in some of the episodes of Tim and Sid Uncut the Podcast, screw you, Aaron, I was there, I can speak to everyone's passion for the show. And it's always been evident from listening to you how much fun you have doing the updates for that podcast. What is it about that show that just makes things so enjoyable for everyone involved?
Well, let me just give you a quick background on how that happened. As you guys mentioned, I do just regular updates on the station every half hour, and they're a little more, you know, regular, if I could call them that. They're just, you know, I'm giving the scores, I'm giving odds, I'm giving everything else we give. And when Tim and Sid decided to bring their show onto the airwaves and not just have it as a podcast, they wanted to talk to me about it, and they kind of said, can we do something a little different? And they just kind of gave me free rein, which is great when you're working with Tim and Sid, because, you know, they don't ever come to me and say, well, you have to do this or don't do this. They just kind of say, have fun with it, you know what I mean? Let's not kind of go through the games. Let's find some quirky stories. And the first time I really kind of got comfortable, they had a guy from Stella on, and they kept talking about the Stella commercial, the French commercial where the girl's walking and
Artois.
The French song. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be funny if I opened my update with the French song? And Sid laughed so hard, I thought he was going to puke right on the air. And I thought, okay, these guys are really allowing me to do whatever I want and have a good time. And when I finally kind of got what they were looking for, I just have a blast. I just look for things that I know will make Sid laugh, Tim laugh, Orville laugh, Noon laugh. And it doesn't always necessarily have to be funny. I mean, some of the stories are just weird and quirky. But I always think, will it A, either make them laugh, or B, really spark some sort of cool conversation that sports fans would have? It doesn't always have to be sports, but it should kind of come back to it, and it always seems to. And sometimes conversations just, you know, they spark from it. Like yesterday when we were talking to John Noon about whether he'd rather have a free car or a hole-in-one, and he'd rather have a hole-in-one.
Crazy.
Yeah,
he's lying.
We got inundated with tweets and emails about that, and that was just, you know, from a story. So I just have a blast doing those updates.
Maybe there's more to John Noon than we know. Maybe he's already driving a ball and vehicle and just wants that hole-in-one.
Well, he is a golf fanatic. I've been golfing with him. He can really swing a club, but I still think he's crazy. I think he's nuts. A hole-in-one is great. If I had a hole-in-one, trust me, I'd probably tattoo it to my forehead, but if you told me right now you could have a car and never get a hole-in-one, I'd say pass me the keys.
I definitely agree, Rob. I want to talk a little bit about the Red Wings. I know you are a diehard Red Wings fan. You have been for quite a long time. And the Red Wings got out of the first round relatively unscathed in an easy sweep of Phoenix. Didn't have to play Henrik Zetterberg. He's presumably healthy going into round two. And you look at some of the other teams in the West, like San Jose, who had a very difficult time with the Anze Kopitar-less LA Kings, and Vancouver were taken to 7 games by Chicago. Do you think it's fair to say that Detroit is the favorite in the West right now?
I know this is going to sound weird and people still think I'm crazy. I still think Vancouver is the actual favorite coming out of the West. As great as Detroit looked, and I love saying that as a Detroit fan, I just think their depth is great. Vancouver's depth is better. The one thing that Detroit has right now is a Pavel Datsyuk who is playing like he's an alien. He's not even from this planet sometimes when I'm watching some of the things he does. Who does the between-the-legs move in the playoffs? And it works. It just, it's blowing my mind. My big question mark has always been Jimmy Howard in net, but I think he did well enough in round one to kind of make me think, all right, as long as he doesn't screw up, I'm not asking him to steal a game. I'm not asking him to do what, you know, Corey Crawford did last night and make saves that are just insane. I'm asking him not to lose a game, and so far I'm thinking he can. So right now I still, as much as a lot of people think, wow, choke artist, Vancouver, you know, had a 3-0 lead, had to go to a game seven, I still believe depth-wise, they're just so good on every level.
Of course, it's Wednesday today, and we would be remiss not to talk about the game that went down on Tuesday, quite possibly one of the best. Is it the best first-round series of all time?
I've heard that a lot today. I don't know if I'd call it the best first-round series of all time or even the best series of all time, because I thought there was some real, real ugliness in there. I mean, and yep. We saw a couple of blowouts, which, as a hockey fan, I really wasn't a big fan of. But I can tell you this, Game 7, there was not one point when I wasn't on the edge of my seat during that entire hockey game. I was baffled. If you would have wrote a script called, you know, Game 7 between the Canucks and the Blackhawks and put everything in that happened last night between Burroughs scoring the winner, then Burroughs missing a penalty shot, and then Taves getting his first goal shorthanded, and then Burroughs, you know, getting a penalty in overtime and then scoring the winner, I would have said this is far too unrealistic. Write me with something that's a little more, you know, not as far-fetched. But all of that happened in real life, guys, right in front of us. So I was blown away by that hockey game. One of the best hockey games, or at least one of the most entertaining hockey games I have ever seen.
Now, I'm one of those jokers that picked the Vancouver Canucks to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. And my concern right now is that this team may have expelled all their energy, had such high highs and low lows in just the first round. Do they have enough at this point?
I think they do, but that's a very good question. In fact, I'm hearing both sides of the coin today. And we're going to talk about this on Puck Daddy Radio. Basically, did that series help or hurt the Canucks' chances for a Stanley Cup? I'm hearing some people say, when you get that monkey off your back, when you finally beat the team that's eliminated you 2 years in a row, and when you do it in the fashion that you did, you know, Game 7 overtime, you're riding high, and that's momentum. While other people have said this series should have been over 3 games ago. And they've expelled, as you mentioned, a lot of energy in beating a team in the first round. And maybe we're going to see a letdown series against Nashville. I'm not totally on one side or the other, but I lean towards this is going to help Vancouver because they were voodooed. I mean, the Canucks were just mesmerized by the fact that this team had eliminated them in the last two series. You saw it after the game when Roberto Luongo actually said that he was more excited and happy then than when he won a gold medal. That clearly proves that they were so in his head that he's comparing this to winning an Olympic gold medal with Team Canada, a first-round series. So I think now that they're finally out, they finally got past that hump, the monkey's off the back, whatever damn cliche you want to use, I think it could only be a good thing.
Joined on the line by Rob Pizzo of The Score on Sirius 98. We were mentioning Detroit earlier and how they may have an advantage sitting out as long as they have. Of course, they've had that time off because of their sweep with Phoenix. And while we're on the subject of Phoenix, when I spoke to your esteemed co-host, Greg Wyshynski, last week, he mentioned that he believed that there's a 50-50 chance that this team is in Winnipeg next year. Do you agree? Disagree?
If I had to guess, I'd say it's a little more than 50. I mean, we've heard all the Phoenix is going to Winnipeg stories before. We heard it for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people talk about how the Coyotes had to play last year's playoffs with the hanging cloud that they may be moving. It was nothing like this year. And you know what? As much as I'm a Detroit fan, I think they had to play under very unfair circumstances this year, especially when that report basically came out saying the NHL was basically waiting for this series to end and then they are going to be moving. Everything I've read, everyone I'm talking to is saying it's pretty close to being done. So 50-50 seems, you know, maybe a little good news for Phoenix fans. I think it's a little more for me. I'm aiming towards the 70 to 80 range.
Puck Daddy Radio is on Sirius 98 at 1 p.m. Eastern, 5 days a week. You can also listen to it at thescore.com/radio. And while I'm telling you guys what to do, you should also follow Rob Pizzo on Twitter at Rob Pizzo. Pizzo, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
No problem, guys.
Enjoy the playoffs.
You guys too. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up, we will discuss the upcoming UFC event as well as a little Blue Jays baseball, so stay tuned. Music's so angry.
It really personifies the sport, wouldn't you say?
I love it.
Fair enough. Joining us is our resident MMA expert. Coincidentally enough, he goes by MM Adam Martin.
What up?
Welcome, Adam Martin.
Do you like the term expert, maybe aficionado, connoisseur?
Connoisseur,
what do you usually go
by? I like that.
I don't even know, man. They're all good. Connoisseur is nice. It's like
connoisseur.
It's a nice word. Yeah, we'll stick with that one, yeah.
Adam, of course, is joining us because on Saturday, April 30th, at the Rogers Center, UFC 129 will take place, and I don't think anyone is more excited than our very own Adam Martin.
Oh, I can't wait, man. I've been looking forward to this for so long. Like, it's been a long time coming. First event in Ontario. Big event, anyways. Looking forward to it.
It is a very exciting event, Adam, and I know you're very excited, as are many MMA fans across Canada, across Ontario. And obviously, Canada's own Georges St-Pierre heads the card with facing off against Jake Shields. And Jake Shields is a 4-1, near 4-1 underdog. And many people do view GSP as one of the best, if not the best, pound-for-pound fighter in the world. But we've seen letdowns with GSP before. He did lose to Matt Serra in a fight that he was universally expected to win. So do you think there's any chance of another letdown like what happened with Serra this time around?
I think Jake Shields is the toughest guy GSP's fought since he's fought Matt Hughes, probably. This is a really tough fight for him. I think the 4-1 underdog status for Jake Shields is just not doing this guy enough credit. This guy's on a 15-fight win streak. He's held belts at middleweight and at welterweight, so this guy's a multi-weight class champion. He's an excellent jiu-jitsu fighter, probably has better jiu-jitsu than Georges St-Pierre. His wrestling's top-notch. He's not a really great striker, but I think he's going to try taking this fight to the mat, and we'll see what happens. You know, GSP, he's so dominant, but again, like you said, you know, he's lost to Matt Serra in a fight that he was supposed to win. He was a 10-1 underdog in that fight, and he lost it, so we'll see what happens. See what happens Saturday.
Would you call it crazy for someone to be betting on Jake Shields this Saturday?
No, because I actually might put like $20 down on myself. He's plus 300. It's worth a shot. You know what I mean? He has no pressure on him, in my opinion. GSP's fighting for the first time in Toronto in front of 55,000 people and probably a million more on pay-per-view. You know what I mean? How many people are there to watch him? He has a lot of pressure on him, man. Like, if he loses his fight, it's not good. It doesn't look good for him. And I mean, Shields, like I said, he's a great fighter. And no one's expecting him to win, so he just might come out and put on a great performance. We'll see what happens.
Now, another Canadian that is scheduled to fight on Saturday is Ontario-born Mark Hominick. And he, much like Shields, is viewed as a big underdog against a seemingly superior opponent in Brazilian Jose Aldo. Now, Aldo's coming in with a bunch of hype behind him. Many are expecting really big things out of the 24-year-old Brazilian. But do you think he's going to be able to live up to the hype this weekend?
You know, Aldo's never fought a striker as good as Hominick. Hominick's definitely the best striker he's ever fought. The thing about Aldo is he's just so unpredictable. He throws like crazy flying knees, like it's just crazy moves that you would never even think of, while Hominick is more of a technical fighter. I think Hominick has a good shot at this one, actually, though. You know, just seeing this guy at the press conference and stuff, like, this means more to him than just winning a fight. Like, this is like a lifelong dream for him to win the title in the UFC. Like, he used to fight in the UFC, and then he's a 145-pounder when they didn't have that weight class back then, so he went to the WC. Now that it's merged, he's getting another shot. This guy is just an unbelievable fighter, really underrated. We'll see what happens, man. But again, it's kind of like the GSP and Shields fight. You know, you have a huge favorite and the underdog, and I can't. It's hard to call. Again, I might put some money down because he's plus 300 again. You know, he's a huge underdog.
Yeah, that's a common theme with this card, is that there's some huge favorites and big underdogs, and that's going to make for an interesting card. Now, speaking of huge underdogs, we have 47-year-old Randy Couture. He's facing off against Lyoto Machida, and Machida is coming off two consecutive losses, but it was not that long ago. Many viewed him as one of the best, if not, again, one of the best fighters in the world. Now, many are rooting for Couture. It would be a feel-good story for many, but do you think there's any chance this old man can pull a rabbit out of his hat one last time?
I hope so, man. Randy Couture is definitely my favorite fighter of all time. He just exemplifies everything that's good about the sport. And, you know, in a sport that's all about blood and bashing heads, you know, he's a good guy. But it's a tough fight, man. Machida's a lot younger than him. He's really elusive. He's a counterfighter. And it's hard to say. His striking's definitely better. And he has a lot to lose. If he loses this fight, that'll be three in a row. And most guys do get cut after losing three fights in a row, even though he's, you know, a superstar. Randy Couture, though, man, I think he's going to throw him against the cage, throw some dirty boxing, throw some punches, throw some elbows. We'll see what happens. Again, he's a huge underdog yet again. Just like you said, it seems like they're mismatches, but I'm hoping he's going to pull it out. Maybe a decision victory for Randy.
UFC 129 at the Rogers Center on Saturday, April 30th. Adam Martin, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
I'm sure he'll be providing us plenty of coverage on the event, so make sure to follow him on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. Aaron, will you be watching the event at the Rogers Center?
Absolutely not.
Not at the Rogers Center. Will you be watching the event that takes place at Rogers Center on TV?
Well, actually, I wouldn't say absolutely not. If I can find a place to watch it where I don't have to spend money to watch it, I will be watching it. But for me, spending money to watch, it's a good card, but I'm not a huge UFC fan. But maybe, you know what? Maybe for Adam, tune in so we have something to discuss on Monday.
To each their own. The regular resident of the Rogers Center, the Toronto Blue Jays, have been interesting, to say the least, recently. They've been keeping things interesting. They've been in pretty much every single game that they've played over the last couple weeks, especially the game in which we were covering live at the Rogers Center and freaking John McDonald won the game in the 11th inning.
It was a great game, though.
It was a great game. Not so much for us.
It really goes to show that it's a whole different mindset when you're a journalist covering a game compared to when you're covering the game as a fan. We're just watching the game as a fan.
Oh, the fans were loving it. I was about to throw my laptop out the press box.
Yeah. It was a little nerve-wracking, but a great experience.
By the way, Josh, you looked good that day.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's bizarre. I think he just hasn't spoken in a while, so he was looking for something interesting to say. That was not very interesting, though. That was a little
I thought
bizarre.
You looked fabulous.
Fabulous?
Well, that's no change from the regular. He's always well-dressed, well-groomed. Very very handsome gentleman, Mr. Lundberg is.
He had his Moores pants, too.
Those were pants from
They Moores? Were not from Moores. What do you guys want? I feel like you're after something here. No one's this nice to me.
What do you mean?
Thank you for
ulterior motives? I suspect there might be some ulterior motives here. No?
Just more sarcasm.
Oh,
stop being paranoid, Josh.
All right. Well, can we get back to the Blue Jays now, or do you have any more compliments?
No. Blue Jays all the way.
When we first talked Blue Jays at the beginning of this season, we talked Jose Bautista and whether or not he was going to live up to last year's expectations, and the consensus was he was not. The consensus was even if he comes close, even if he hits 35 home runs and hits 260, 270, it'll be a pretty good year for Bautista. But right now, it's looking like it might be possible for Bautista to even exceed last year's production. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, at this current juncture, Bautista is on pace for 58 home runs, and that's not to mention the 160 walks he's currently on pace for. I don't really think it's realistic to expect 58 home runs from Bautista, but then again, he only had 4 home runs in April last year. But, you know, just the way he's been playing, he's such an imposing force, and the guys hitting behind Bautista, like Lind, save for Tuesday night, have not been all that exceptional, so you're going to need to have the guys batting behind Bautista to start stepping up. Our pitchers are not going to throw any strikes to him whatsoever.
His approach has just – it's improved as last season went on and now into this season, batting 362. I believe he has 22 walks on the season. And he's just looked like a completely different player than what we've seen in the past. And almost if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that this guy was going to hit 50 home runs again, or if you would have told me that he was going to bat over 300, I'd say almost 50 home runs again would be more likely than the 300.
It's absolutely true. But you remember when we were discussing Bautista earlier, prior to the season, we talked about his batting average and balls in play. Last year was a career low for him. So it had to be expected that he would revert back to his career norms in that regard. So I think an increase in batting average was to be expected. But then again, he's just been otherworldly. It just seems he's either hitting a home run, he's walking, or he's just crushing a ball.
He already has 22 runs already.
He's a beast right now.
And imagine if Hill and Lin were playing as good as they were 2 years ago.
Like, how far off are we from just intentional walks, the Barry Bonds treatment for Batista. I don't think it's far off because the Blue Jays have to prove that they have other guys who can beat them aside from who can hit aside from Batista.
8 home runs, 11 RBIs. That tells me that someone, if not many individuals on this team, are not doing their job.
Exactly. And he's missed 3 games too. Remember the whole Oakland series.
That's a great point, Jimmy.
Dude is a newborn.
Yeah,
everyone needs to pick it up. The people in front of him obviously have to get on base so he can drive them in. Escobar's missed some time with the injury, but he's been consistent all year. Patterson's actually been better lately. We'll see what happens when Aaron Hill gets back. But even the guys behind him, we saw Adam Lind go for 2 home runs Tuesday
evening. It's about time.
It is about time. He's going to need to step up. Everyone. There is no one other than Jose Bautista in that lineup that's performing the way they should right now.
Absolutely. You mentioned Bautista with 8 home runs, but he only has 11 RBIs, and I think that speaks to the on-base percentage of the players in front of him. Rajay Davis only played a very small portion of games before he went down with his ankle injury, but Yunel and Rajay, they're going to be instrumental.
And Travis Snyder, don't forget about him. He's been struggling.
They got to find guys who can get on base in front of Bautista because he is going to hit. He's proven that time and time again last year and this year. It's absolutely instrumental for the Jays' success to have guys on base in front of Jose.
That begs the question, when is it Brett Lawrie time? Because he's batting .421 in AAA right now, 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, 5 steals, and 84 at-bats. The key stat there is 6 errors so far at third base. And believe me, the Jays have had plenty of E5s this year already with Encarnacion struggling at third. And they're working to find somebody that they can put into that spot. Even Aaron Hill. Aaron Hill at second is not having the best year. There's some questions on whether or not he's part of their future. But I think there's no doubt at this point. Brett Lawrie.
It's not Jed Lowry.
Yeah, it is.
Brett Lawrie, no.
Brett Lawrie is a big part of their future, but when does that future begin?
See, I think you've seen a resurgence in Juan Rivera in recent games. He's been hitting the ball on the nose, every at-bat. So I wouldn't be too worried about Juan Rivera. But that being said, I don't think Alex Anthopoulos wants to burn a year of Brett Lawrie's service time just yet. Maybe come June, if the Jays are still having problems, if Aaron Hill hasn't fully recovered from his hamstring injury or isn't hitting above .200, I don't really know how long you could stick with Aaron Hill. He's already shown a season of very poor plate discipline, and I don't know how much time you can bide with Hill eating up at bats and just a poor batting average as a whole.
Anthopoulos claims that it has nothing to do with the service time, that they just want him to be down there. They want him to be a seasoned player when he comes up and to stay up. There's some truth to that, but there's also an element of the contract situation that plays a part there.
You guys said that he's hitting .400 right now in the minors, right?
.420.
Okay. And
one.
His troubles right now are third base, making 6 errors. Why can't they bring him up and use him as a DH, maybe?
Well, Rivera's been great.
That's not his future. His future with the team is as a third baseman or a second baseman. They need to get him where he needs to be defensively before they can bring him
up. But he's still a big bat, right? So,
but they're not trying to win right now. They're trying to plan for the future, and they need this kid for the future. So he goes down, or he stays in AAA Las Vegas. Brett Cecil sent down to AAA Las Vegas last week.
Hmm.
Was that the right move?
Well, actually, Brett Cecil started last night.
Lit up.
And got lit, much like Giovanni Gallardo has this year.
Please, leave me alone.
I don't want to compare Brett Cecil to Giovanni Gallardo.
Cecil started 4 innings and a third, 13 hits, 11 runs, 10 of them earned, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It is quite disgusting. But supposedly the conditions at the game were horrific, very cold, windy, wet.
Excuses.
That's true.
That's what happens when you play playoff baseball. You're going to be pitching in the cold anyways.
That's true.
So,
got a couple minutes left here. It'll be interesting to see how the Blue Jays, how everything comes together with Rajay Davis coming back up. And team getting healthy a little bit more, and what they do with that starting rotation as well. Now, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do before we leave you this week. We are off next week. No show next week, but we will be back on May 11th to recap everything that we missed, and we'll also preview the Jimmy Mangos versus Greg Fidel race, which will go down on May 12th.
Greg Fidel?
Is that what I said?
Greg Fidel. All right. That's the name.
Oops.
We're only 2 weeks away from George versus Jimmy.
George. You love Greg that much, don't you?
Well, he was just helping us doing some producing here, so I figured I'd give him a shout out.
Two weeks away. George versus Jimmy.
So we'll be back on May 11th to preview the race. We'll be back again, double Jax that week on May 12th to do a follow-up of the race. That will be a fun episode, so don't miss it. I want to thank Adam Martin for joining us in studio, and a big, big thank you to Rob Pizzo of The Score on Sirius 98 for joining us on the line today. Great insight, as always, from our man, Rob Pizzo. Jimmy,
News PM.
I hope you guys have a great week ahead of you. I'm going to miss you guys, and can't wait to come back.
On that note, on behalf of Jimmy Mangos.
Damn it, George, you're dead.
On behalf of Jimmy Mangos, Aaron Karolnik, I am Josh Lewinberg, and we will see you in a couple weeks.